morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Excuse me, it's waking up this morning. It's a little early. It's still dark outside. Glad to have you join us. We have a wonderful show for you today. We're going to be talking about gardening and what to do in your yard. We have lots of text messages and emails to go through and some kind of sad news. But I'm gonna discuss it with Lizzie, and she's gonna perk me right back up again. And so, good morning, Lizzie. How are you?
I am doing good. So, what is happening?
Well, you remember when Punxsutawney Phil came out and said 6 more weeks of winter, and I pshawed, and I go, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I went through and I removed all the heaters and summarized my turkey run so that they're ready for the nice warm summer. And why,
well,
what's going on?
We have another polar vortex coming down.
Shut up.
Yep.
Get
and
out of this building.
It's going to be in the 30s and lower in the North Panhandle. And it'll get into the 40s here. It's not going to be too bad. It'll be nice here. But, it's not going to get too cold. But I just thinking about everybody up in the Panhandle, Jacksonville and St. Augustine, Ormond Beach. You guys need to prepare for another really cold frost. And you know, driving around, I do see a lot of damage from the last one that we had, that we actually had snow. I don't think this one's going to bring snow, but it's going to really be another polar vortex.
Wow.
Aren't we? We're lucky.
Yes.
We're lucky.
Yes.
So we just want to prepare. So what does that mean when we have another one coming down? So we can get frost all the way up through March 15th. I was just hoping that we wouldn't get a really bad one. And I don't think it's going to be bad for, like I said, Central Florida. South Florida, you guys are fine. You're going to have lovely weather next week. I'll get into that. But, South Florida is the place to be.
They're just going to rub it in.
They will. And so you don't want to be pruning back anything. Don't be pruning back. And I have a lovely mango tree on our street. It literally must have thousands of mango blooms on it. It is huge. It's about 25 feet tall and about 20 feet wide. And it made it through the storms okay, the previous polar vortexes. But, this one, it's gonna drop the flowers.
Now, are mangoes kind of like, like whenever you're growing oranges and citrus that you kind of hope for a little bit of a freeze to make the fruit sweeter? So is that for mangoes also maybe?
No, not for mangoes. Citrus can take a little bit of cold weather, chill. You know, they don't need chill hours, but the chilling hours that they do get does make the fruit sweeter. Mangoes, it's not the same way.
So this year would have been a good year to try to grow, like maybe Fraser firs or something.
I would love to grow Fraser firs.
Me
if you
too.
Love Fraser firs, grow Arizona cypresses.
Yes.
I'm just kind of bummed because Punxsutawney Phil was right.
I went through 6 more weeks of.
Yeah, well, not for us, but the other polar vortex, I'm just kind of bummed because we do have everything flushing out because we go from 20 to 30 degree temperatures to almost 90 this week.
Oh, it was crazy hot.
Yes.
I mean,
and
warm.
Usually the average temperatures in February are, 74, 75, and that's beautiful weather.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. And we had 90s, 80s, and now we're going to go back down into the 40s and 50s for Central Florida.
And what's crazy, though, is it's kind of, we're kind of, in a way, we're kind of used to this at being a little bit cooler in the evening.
Yes.
And then it's like 1,000 degrees during the day. It seems like, because we get adjusted to the cooler weather.
Yeah.
And then when it hits the 80s, then you're like, biscuits, But yeah, it's definitely, got it. I know what I'm doing today. I'm going out and I'm re-winterizing our turkey runs and everything.
And, well, yes, and so you're going to be out doing that hard work. Well, roses can take this cold weather. Don't worry about roses.
Oh, good, because I just
Florida.
Cut mine back. I chopped mine back and dug them up, and I moved them to the front because I know that it's that time of year and that the Petersons and Nursery soon will be having their roses up for sale. I know they're growing now, so I'm excited. So I had to make room so that way, because I never know,
Oh, you go, you're not going to leave without having plants and roses with
yes.
you. So a good tip is that if you're in that area and you can visit Peterson's Nursery, sign up for their Rose calendar.
Yes.
And then you will get advance notice of the big sales.
Yes.
So go to petersonsnursery.com and sign up for Howie's list, and that'll be great.
Yes.
You'll get to know that. So super duper. Speaking of opportunities, we do still have a few more seats left on our trip to the Newport Flower Show and the historic Block Island and Blythewald Mansions. And it is going to be a fabulous tour. It is in June, June 19th through June 23rd. We do still have a couple more seats available, and it's just going to be a wonderful time. If you've ever been to Rhode Island, you know how beautiful it can be in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And this location is palatial. It is where all of the cultivated rich would go and spend their summers. And so we have some beautiful mansions to visit, beautiful gardens to visit, and the fabulous Newport Flower Show. So we do have a couple. How do you get to know about them, what to do, how to sign up for them? You can go to artinbloomgardentours.com.
Yes, and that's where you get all the pricing information,
everything.
And you can do everything right there.
You can
right
download
there.
The registration right there. So we're going to be back with your questions, 1-888-455-2967. Want to say good morning to Nathan and Howie? We'll get right to their text messages. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. The phone number to call if you have a gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680, and we'll take your calls. I'd like to give a big shout out to the Exora Garden Club in Samford. I was able to speak to them yesterday on Valentine's Day and talk a little bit about falling in love with your nighttime garden. And I had a great time. It was wonderful to meet everyone and see a lot of good friends. And so I do appreciate them asking me to join them. It was a lot of fun. So we had some questions last week that came in after the show. And so I want to say Valerie in, she didn't say where she lived, but it doesn't matter for this question. She says, I want to start a privacy hedge. I have a chain link fence. I bought 2 podocarpus bushes, and each pot has 4 cuttings, which are about 4 feet tall. Oh, she does live in the Apopka area. And so would it be okay to separate the root ball into two sections? Did I catch that?
Nope, not at all. Yeah, I think you did.
And so into two sections and plant in 2 separate holes? Or should I not disturb the root ball and plant the bush into a hole? And so this is a great question. I've seen it in some of my landscapes, my clients' landscapes, over the past 6 months. And it used to be that they could put the podocarpus in a 3-gallon pot, and then it would just be a single stem, single trunk podocarpus. Now they're putting 4 separate podocarpus trees into a pot, rootings and cuttings, and growing them 4 as 1. And it's just blowing my mind because podocarpus gets huge.
Mm-hmm.
It can get to be 30 to 40 feet tall and also 10 to 15 feet to 20 feet wide, one single podocarpus. So yes, Valerie, yes, you can divide them up. Here's what you need to do. You need to get a serrated knife. But you're going to have to water the plant really well before you do this. Before you take it out of the pot, water it for a couple of days, soak it, saturate it. Then take your knife and divide it up. And you can do it into 2. That would be fine, especially since they're 4 feet tall. Or you could even divide it up into 4. It'll take a little bit longer for them to get nice and thick again. But that's an option up to you. But you can divide them. Take the knife, split it down there, keeping as much of the roots as possible with each of the stems. And, you can do that. If you do it 2, I would space them 3 feet apart. If you do it each one separately, you do it four, I would space them probably 2 feet apart, and they will do nicely. Then she said, what do you recommend for spacing? So that I did spacing. So thank you for listening to the show and sending in your question. Another plant that happens to, where they plant four cuttings into your pot, are crotons. So when you're looking at crotons, you've got this nice, thick, beautiful leaves, colorful leaves in the pot. And when you go to plant it, there literally are four separate plants into the crotons. So it is a practice that they do. Nothing wrong with it, as long as they get enough nutrition and water for each of the plants. So that may be why sometimes on a podocarpus, you will see a whole section die. Have you ever seen that? Where just one branch comes and it dies. That's because they put four cuttings in there, and that one cutting just didn't make it.
Well, it's almost kind of like you don't realize it, and I didn't realize it until like I was doing the poinsettia, you know, adventure that I like to go on, and buying them. And I would notice that some pots would have two shoved, and it was a big one, two separate, but they were shoved together to make it look fuller for the selling purposes and eye-catching. So I started going through and finding the ones that had two, maybe three, and I got them because then I could separate them out when I put them in the ground. So look at stuff like that. That's, you know, it's almost like you get a bonus. You get an extra, you know, so.
Yeah, an extra plant there. You're two for one. Yeah, so that's a great question. And so Nathan in St. Augustine, he says his lawn needs a refresher. And I don't know what you mean by refresher, Nathan. Because we still, St. Augustine, you got zapped with the multiple polar vortexes, and there's another one coming up. So I would just caution not doing anything until the end of March, first part of April, when the plants start growing again. And so the St. Augustine turf has a lot of dead grass on top of it. That may be what you mean by refresher. And you just got to mow it at 3 to 4 inches and just cut it off. So that the dead parts are going off. And it's just going to get hit again this next weekend. So refresher, you can fertilize it at the end of March, first part of April. You want to do that because fertilizing, especially because you use slow release, is going to last until the end of April, May, June. And then right before summer gets here, you can fertilize it again if you need to. Before we go into that summer break of not fertilizing during the summertime for water quality, you know, it's to protect our water supply. So, yes, I wouldn't do anything, and I think it's just that it needs refresher. Now, you talked about dethatching, Nathan. Dethatching is where your grass is so thick that you have a whole layer of thatch in there that prevents the water and fertilizers from getting through. And it's caused not only by leaving large grass clippings on your lawn so that it can't break down quickly and it just kind of piles up and it creates that blockage, but it also is caused by too much water and too much fertilizer. You just got excessive growth going in there and those excessive blades get cut. And again, you create that thatch layer. So, dethatching isn't usually needed until the turf is about 5 to 7 years old, 8 years old. And that, again, is because of bad practices. And I'm not suggesting that's the reason you have it. You just asked the question. So dethatching, I don't think is necessary. If your grass is younger, it's not a dethatching issue. It is a dethatching issue if you overwater and overfertilize. And you can do it. And I would probably wait until the grass is growing again, so that it speeds up very quickly. You don't want to take these little holes that plugs that are ripped out of the grass, and the grass isn't growing. So we're going into another period where the grass is going to shut down again for probably another 10 days to 2 weeks because of the polar vortex, and then we'll go right back up into the 80s again. It'll start growing. So even if you wanted to dethatch and you have a reason to dethatch, I would still wait until probably the end of April, first part of June to dethatch. And then that way the grass is going to be growing and it'll recover quicker from the dethatching. Hope that makes sense, Nathan. Thank you. It's a great question. And so we want to give a big shout out to Dana and in a Quality Green Specialist.
Yes.
We're going to have him on next week, and he's going to tell us all about his beautiful, beautiful fruit trees and the shrubs that he has, the native plants he has. If you have not been out to DeLand and seen the beautiful, beautiful plants Quality Green Specialist has, you got to get out there.
So. Oh, yeah, definitely, 100% for sure. You know, and then talking about the grass and stuff, I am in love with my ryegrass.
It looks good right now, doesn't
dry.
It?
Yeah, I am so, it looks like shag carpet across our acreage. And I'm just like, I just want to lay on it. And I just, you know, I ran the one sprinkler.
You have turkeys now, you know, so.
Oh, and they love it because I spread it all in their, they have like their own little grass field inside their turkey run, and they love it, but they actually love going out of the turkey run to eat the big, long, like, it's like locks of like green locks across my property. And
oh,
I just
want to
lay on it, and I love it. And then I'm like, dadgummit, this is all going to go away one day.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see it growing, but we've had enough cold weather and enough, you know, casual rainfall that it's lasting. So it's going to last again for another whole week. I just told the group yesterday that the ryegrass, she had beautiful ryegrass in her backyard, and it was shaded, and the ryegrass was doing okay.
That's where our turkey runs around our cedar trees. I purposely ran our turkey run there so they'd have stuff to climb on, and the shade of the, you know, the cedar trees, and it's growing. I was like, oh my gosh, look, don't get used to it.
It was great. I'd like to give a shout out to Claremont, who is allowing backyard chickens, and so, you know, they're allowing homeowners to have chickens. So it's a test pilot opportunity. So, you know, you can grow or you can raise chickens and have your own eggs.
Don't screw it up, people, please. So there's going to be somebody out there.
So, yeah. So you're not allowed. You can have up to 5 chickens and you can't have a rooster.
Well, what about turkeys? Do they allow the turkeys?
I don't think they would because of the size of them. Because how would you be able to keep, unless you have a lot of property and then you really aren't, I'm thinking in the city limits. You're not in the city limits. Yeah. You have a lot of property. But you'd have to have them in a fence. You have to keep them caged.
Yes, definitely. So, and you've had just maybe, well, you need 2 turkeys because they need friends. But at least one, I mean.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about this? Please, Claremont, don't mess this up. Let's do this. Let's band together. Follow the rules. Take care of them.
No roosters.
No roosters, please. So this way it'll grow and this will be a great new thing for everybody.
Yeah. So that's great. Yes. And so right now what you should be doing planting in your yard is you've got a lot of choices. Even with the another polar vortex coming, you can still be buying plants. This is the time to put in camellias. You know, camellias are blooming right now, and you can see the beautiful flowers and the colors, and you can select the ones you want. And so this is a great time to put in camellias and shrubs and trees, okay? Even with the cold temperatures here in Florida, unless it's really, really, really severe or we have a hurricane coming, you can plant basically every day out of the year. Our ground never freezes. And so it never gets, you know, it's not like our ground freezes solid and you can't plant anything in it. It's sand. It doesn't freeze. So you can plant any time of the year. And this is going to be a good week to do it. Visit Quality Green Specialist Nursery, Peterson's Nursery in Lakeland, and you will have a beautiful yard in no time. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. To Better Lawns and Gardens, we'd love your phone call. 1-888-455-2967. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. You can listen to all of the Better Lawns and Gardens shows. Even if you sleep in on Saturday mornings, you can hear it on podcast on iHeartRadio. Wherever you are, it's free and you can just get the app and listen to it while you're doing the gardening, while you're doing your walk, and enjoy the show that way. And I have so many of you when I go out and speak, or they see me out shopping and things like that, they say, oh, we listen to the show all the time and we love it.
So oh, of course.
We do appreciate that. We appreciate you going to our Facebook page and liking us. And just a big shout out to Frank. Yes. He is such a great follower on Facebook.
Yes.
And we do appreciate them and all of the people on there.
And I'm going to remind everybody, if you did not get your newsletter this week from Teresa, how can you sign up for it?
You can go to my website, she-consulting.com, and right there on the front page, it is just sign up for the newsletter. It's free. It comes out once a month. Usually at the beginning of the month. Doesn't go past 2 weeks, but usually at the beginning of the month. And I don't spam either. So in the newsletter, I talk about what's going on in the garden, in Florida weather, in everything that's going on as far as, you know, knowing what to garden, how to garden, and upcoming events. And then also we have my plant of the month and my Teresa's landscape design tips on how to design your landscape. And then also I have landscaper malpractice, how to know when to fire your landscaper. So if you're not getting the newsletter, I think you'll enjoy it. And you just go up to my website, she-consulting.com, and it is free. You can sign up for it there. So what can you be planting for vegetables this month? So we're going to transition this month into warm season vegetables. Okay, continue to keep on growing your winter season vegetables like cauliflower and celery and collards, broccoli. They will all still continue to grow, but you don't want to plant the seeds right now of the cold winter annuals. Okay, those vegetables, it's going to get too hot for them as they mature. So right now, what you can be doing is planting beans, and you can do seeds right now, which is an easy way to do it. Beans and cantaloupes, corn, cucumbers, and then eggplant, luffah, which is a type of squash, peppers and pumpkins, squash, regular squash, summer squash, tomatoes, and watermelon. You can be planting seeds of those right now, and over the next month, you're going to start seeing in the box stores and in the nurseries the little transplants, the 4-inch transplants that you can get for those. So it's a good time of the year to do that. Flowers are blooming wonderfully. This is a time, again, transition. We're still seeing a lot of the winter annuals, the petunias, the pansies. I just saw a commercial property putting out pansies just this week. And they're going to last till about probably the end of March, first part of April. But they're going to need to change them out because pansies don't do well in the summertime. And so you can be planting asters and baby breaths, bacopa, begonias and carnations, calendulas. Cone flowers do really well here in Florida. Beautiful cottage garden flower. It's just a wonderful plant. Coreopsis, which is our state wildflower. Cosmos and dahlias. Just like you can up north, you can grow dahlias here in Florida. And they do quite well, but they're a little bit cooler spring flower, and now's the time to go ahead and plant them. Then dianthus and dichondra, dusty millers, and then also the Mexican heather, 4 o'clocks and gaillardias, whirling butterflies. It's called Gara linda hammeri. And these are beautiful, beautiful butterfly-attracting plants that kind of remind you of butterflies. They're called whirling butterflies. They come in a hot pink color. It's called Sicily pink. But then they also come in white. And I love them. They look lovely in the garden, and they sway in the wind, so you get that movement in your garden. Then we also can be planting gazanias and gerbera daisies, lobelia. Yeah, it's a little bit time. It's getting a little bit past that if it gets warm. They'll be fine again through this polar vortex, but they will need probably to be pulled in the next 2 months. Million bells, calibrachoas look like miniature petunias, and they do lovely in hanging baskets, in your spillers for your containers, and they are pest-free bloom all summer long. So this is a good choice to go ahead and plant in your container so that you can enjoy it. You can be planting blue days right now. Roses are great. Salvias and Stokes asters, sweet pea, and yarrows. Good butterfly attracting plants right now. And so, you know, don't hesitate. Those of you from up north, this is a time to go ahead and be planting those beautiful, beautiful flowers. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Let's go to Randall in South Florida. Good morning, Randall. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm well. I'm up here visiting for the weekend in Mount Dora and listening to your show.
Thank you.
I have a question about my lawn. I have St. Augustine lawn that's being invaded by Zoysia/Bermuda grass. And I want to know how to stop that invasion. And then I have a second question about pruning. Is it better to wait till after the full moon or before to prune in general my bushes and so forth?
Okay, that's really cool questions. Okay, to your St. Augustine. Now, it's St. Augustine down in South Florida, not Mount Dora, right?
Yes, Southeast Florida. And I'm about 1,000 feet from the ocean.
Okay, so very alkaline soils there. Wow. Okay, so is the Zoysia or the Wild Bermuda? They're two different grasses. And a Wild Bermuda, you don't know which? You're not sure. Okay, is it coming from your neighbors or just kind of like from a conservation area?
It came from the neighbors, I believe, years ago.
Okay. What I would kind of do, Randall, is I would put a border, if you could, between your house and their house so that you can prevent the invasion. But you're going to need to use an herbicide to get rid of it. And then also, at next year, not this year, it's going to get a little bit late for pre-emergence, but use a pre-emergent to prevent the running the invasion over. So there is a product by BioAdvanced, and it's called Wild Bermuda, and it's an herbicide. And it will definitely get rid of it, but it's very hard. So sometimes it just has to be dug up. That's why I'm suggesting that you do a border of about a foot wide and put in the shrubs and hedges. That way you can edge it and you prevent the Zoysia or the Wild Bermuda from coming over into your yard.
Yeah, I've got a pretty good, like, 3-foot wide hedge now that I put bamboo. Now that's invading. But so how do I get the Zoysia out of my existing lawn? It's taken about half of it.
Okay, so hang on, Randall. I'll be right back. We got to take a hard break right now. We're going to be back with my top five, and then we'll get back to Randall's question. Randall, hang on.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
Favorite ground covers with flowers to grow on septic tank areas and drain fields? 1, powder puff mimosa. It is a native. It's called Mimosa strigulosa. It does wonderful full sun areas. Lantana camara, the new varieties that are on the market are sterile, and I do know that it gets a little bit tall, but you can just weed whack it very nicely, and it does fine. Coreopsis takes full sun, and it does wonderfully on top of the drain field areas. Another good choice are rain lilies, Zephyranthus. This is a beautiful flower that reminds me a little bit of crocuses, and 3 days after it rains, they just bloom and they look lovely. And my last favorite ground cover to put on top of septic tanks and drain fields, blue-eyed grass, has Florida native, has beautiful blue flowers that bloom all summer long, and it's just a gorgeous plant. So those are my five top ground covers. Thank you, Lizzie. And so we're speaking to Randall. And Randall had a question about the Wild Bermuda grass that's growing in his yard and a little bit of Zoysia So, Randall, the news is that, you know, it's very hard and difficult to get rid of, and you may spend a little bit more time and a lot more money just using trying to use a herbicide to get rid of it. If you have a wide enough area or a large enough expanse, I would go ahead and either dig it up and replant your St. Augustine. You could make your borders a little bit bigger and get rid of it that way and just take it out and throw it away. But it's going to be a little difficult for you to get in once it gets really well-rooted.
Right, yes, which it is. Okay.
Okay, now your second question. Should you trim before a full moon or after a full moon? Yeah, that doesn't have any significance on it. There's really no reason to do it before or after. It's at the proper time that you need to cut it. So if it's a blooming flower, spring blooming flower, shrub, then you want to cut it after it blooms, March, April, May, and then, you know, your other flowers, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no, it's a bigger tree. It's a mayho tree.
Oh, I love mayhos. They are beautiful. I love the variegated sea mayhos. Oh, they're wonderful. Well, it's technically in the hibiscus family. So again, it doesn't matter when you cut it because they bloom all year round. And so I love those. The foliage on them is spectacular. And I love the yellow blooms. Kind of reminds me of okra and the okra flowers.
And they change color.
And they do change colors. And so, yes, you can cut that any time of the year once it gets out of hand.
Right. Don't they come out like yellow in the morning and they're red in the afternoon?
Some of them do, but not often. They're pretty much yellow. They may have a tinge of orange in it that makes it seem a little red. But it's mostly the leaves that are red. So it's a gorgeous plant. I recommend it highly for South Florida and Central Florida.
Oh, great.
Thank you, Randall.
By the way, where I'm from in South Florida is ground cover Florida. Most people call it Lantana.
Ah, there you go. I know exactly where you live. Oh, my goodness. How funny. Well, you live in a great, great city. Thank you so much, Randall. Thank you. Let's go to Alice in Melbourne.
Hi.
Good morning,
there.
Alice. How are you?
I've been fertilizing when I can on my plants, and I don't think I've over-fertilized, but I still have problems with one of my five well-established hibiscus that are now about 6 foot tall because I keep them trimmed. Otherwise, I think they'd go to the sky. But the one plant has got yellow leaves on it all the time, and they just keep dropping and dropping, and I don't know what's happened to it.
Okay,
and I just wondered if I perhaps rotted the roots by letting the water run on it too much.
That could be a very good cause for it, but we've also had some cold snaps. So in Melbourne, it's gotten cold since December. We've had some really severe freezes, and it just may not like the temperature. So that could be one of the reasons. If you only have one doing it and the others are not, yes, I would look at the watering.
Yep.
You don't want to overwater.
Restrict water then.
Please. Yes.
Well, you're wonderful.
Thank you.
You give so much information, Teresa. I just wish you were on more often.
Oh, thank you. I do appreciate it, Alice. Let me know if you need anything else. Take care, hon. That's Alice in Melbourne. And if you'd like to give us a call, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And you can let us know what's going on in your gardening world. So I have, what about ornamental peas for a top of a septic area? As a number six item, stays relatively close to the ground and beautiful yellow flowers. That is perennial peanut. And yes, you can do that if you have full sun. I don't mind that too much, perennial peanut. It does go dormant in the wintertime. I'm sure it doesn't look too good right now. But yeah, you could do perennial peanut over it. That would work over a septic tank area. They need full sun, and that would be just fine. So another text is wonderful for Valentine's Day. If you got flowers for Valentine's Day and don't know how to take care of them, give us a call. But this says, last night I bought my sweetie a dozen beautiful roses and got me thinking, if Elon Musk can land his rocket back on Earth standing vertically, why can't we develop a commercial rose that has a beautiful smell to match it and match the beautiful look? Well, great question. And, you know, one of the things my husband, when we first met, you know, he wanted to buy roses for me and floral displays. I said, don't buy me dead plants. And so, because when they cut the roses, they start to die.
Right.
So I'd rather buy me a rose bush. That's the way I think of it. But it's a good question, but there's a really good, serious answer for it. So commercial roses, when they are hybridized so that they have a all uniform color, they can grow roses that has a wonderful long stem, but they also have to be able to handle transport and being in the floral, you know, so they can get delivered by floral. And so when they hybridize them or try to get a specific characteristic out of any plant, they might lose something else. And when out of commercial roses, they've bred them to withstand transportation, last a long time, and bloom with beautiful colors, but they lose the fragrance. So my suggestion is to buy real roses, and like David Austin has wonderful fragrances. And last week, I think I gave my five favorite roses. You can go to my blog on my website, and you can check those out. But I love fragrant roses, and I don't buy any that don't have a scent. So it's a really good question. They're working on it. So they are working on trying to have roses that last a long time, and that also that they have the fragrance. They keep the fragrance too as well. Buy heirlooms and old roses, and you will get that fragrance. And the old roses don't get the pest problems or need a lot of maintenance. So I love them. I also love the drift roses. If you're not a rose grower but you love roses, don't want to have to deal with, you know, the issues, drift roses are magnificent.
Yes.
And they come in beautiful colors, and they only get 2 feet high and 2 feet wide, and they are just amazing.
And I didn't realize until last year whenever I went to Peterson's Nursery for their Rose Fest, which is coming up. We don't know when, but make sure you go on their website and you sign up to get their rose update. They'll send you an email, let you know whenever they start selling them. But there are different, there's like a drift rose, then there's a something else that's like a drift rose, but it's a little bit bigger, and then there's like a little one. I can't remember because short-term memory loss, but I was shocked at the different types of roses.
Yes, and they're really, really beautiful. We're getting the low-maintenance roses now, and that's really, really nice.
Yes.
But Howie also brings in the old-fashioned and the David Austin roses and all those good ones that are beautiful. And they have a wonderful smell.
Yes.
And so you were surprised at the smell.
I did not. I mean, I knew, and everybody knows that a flower has a different, and a roses do have different smells, but I did not realize the different real types of smells until, you know, Howie and his staff took the time and was like, okay, smell this one, Lizzie. Now smell this one last year. So I'm excited. I can't wait. I've signed up for their newsletter and their email notification, so I'll know whenever this roses come on sale. So I'm excited. So,
yep. And you're going to start to see that all over Florida, too. Spring is coming to the nurseries. Quality Green Specialist already has some great ones, you know, Peterson's Nursery. But this is the time to start buying flowers and shrubs for your garden, your landscape. It's going to be spring, March 20th, but you can start now. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.